All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com, week 11 edition, bi-week edition of the show. And it's not going to be a happy one today, folks. I'm not going to lie to you. Bucks are 4-6. I am down about this football team. And everything I said last week about how impressive it is what they've done, considering the circumstances, and about how they're actually a pretty good team that's run into both an incredibly difficult schedule and some really tough injury luck, and all those things, they're all still true, okay? All of it is still true, but it just doesn't matter if you can't snatch a win here and there when you need to. And once again, the Bucks have one right at their fingertips and let it go. And instead of getting into the bye week at 5-5 and still right there in the thick of things, they've put themselves in a position now where they've probably got to go 6-1 in the second half of the year after the bye, albeit against an easy schedule, but I just can't get myself there emotionally or mentally. Really, really disappointed in the team. That's the theme of today's show. So if you came in here, I know our whole theme is always, all right, let's reevaluate every week. Let's take a deep breath. What's next? What's next? What's next? And we're still going to do that. I'm not writing the season off. I'm not saying it's over. I'm not going to stop watching the games. I'm not going to stop doing the shows. But, and this goes back to the Atlanta Thursday night game that started this swoon of losing not just 4 in a row, but 5 of 6. You absolutely had to get one of the Atlanta games. If you changed nothing else about anything, but you won that Thursday night game in Atlanta like you should have, they'd be fine, F-I-N-E, fine right now. But even short of that, maybe you'd jump up and grab that San Francisco game or the Chiefs game, you know, or any of these games that they've been right in. And, yeah, you know what? A season doesn't go anywhere where you have this many gut punch losses in a row. And I know, listen, mathematically, I mean, they were in this position just last year where they were below 500, not looking great, reeled off a bunch of wins, and not only just made the playoffs in like a token appearance, but actually, you know, won a playoff game and were playing on divisional round weekend in Detroit with a chance to go to the NFC Championship game. It can happen, okay? I am not saying it can't happen. It's just really, really disappointing that they weren't able to step up and get just something. And, you know, any of these, it could have been any of them. And obviously I would have preferred it to be the Falcons, that's a division game, or the 49ers, that's an NFC game. But the Chiefs game would have been fine too, something. And another loss on Sunday. And listen, I want to be positive. I am not nearly as down on Todd Bowles as most people are. This is a team faced with not just an injury here or there, but a slew of them. I mean, I'm not trying to pick on one guy, but Josh Hayes, okay, is not an NFL player. He is unplayable, okay? And they're not like sticking him in there at nickelback for a few downs. He's the starting corner. Hard to win that way. That's not Todd Bowles' fault, let alone all the, and the offense is still humming despite losing two of their top receiver, really, more than that, had McMillan out the week before, in addition to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. That's a testament to Liam Cohen. Offense has been phenomenal, even in spite of the losses, but when you lose Savasia Dennis, you know, when you're playing, you're down to your, I mean, even when they had Funderburk and Josh Hayes, when you have guys like that out there, here's some numbers on Jamel Dean, who I don't even think is like a world beater or anything. He's been good. And the Bucs defense certainly struggled even when he was in there. But when Jamel Dean plays, okay, the Bucs are 4-2, allowing an average of 22.5 points per game. When he doesn't play, they're 0-4, allowing an average of 31.3 points per game. That touchdown to George Kittle, which ultimately, even though a million other things happened after that happened, that ultimately felt like where the game turned and why the 49ers won. I mean, you've got Brock Purdy running around for like a full 8 seconds, first of all. And it's tough to cover anybody in the goal line situation for 8 seconds, in a red zone situation for 8 seconds. Josh Hayes actually did a decent job. If you watch the ISO of that play that's just on him and Kittle in the back left corner of the end zone, Hayes actually covers him physically okay, but there's two parts of covering. I told my son this, because my son plays in the Under Armour Flag Football League, and he wants to play real football one day. I don't know what position he's going to play or if he's going to be any good or whatever, but I'm saying, okay, here's what you have to learn about coverage. There's two parts of coverage. There's the actual covering part. You need to stay with your guy, not allow separation, not allow the quarterback to see anything that looks like a good look and not give a window to throw. One. But then two, when they do throw the ball, no matter how well you're covering somebody, you could be standing literally 6 inches from them, you know, covering them like glue. You still have to be competitive at the catch point. I emphasize those words to him. Competitive at the catch point. So when the quarterback throws the ball and you just stand there and watch the other guy catch it, I don't really care how good your coverage was. And Purdy throws this ball to Kittle, and it was a great throw, admittedly. I'm not saying it wasn't. But Josh Hayes just stands there. And Kittle, like, makes this catch, taps the toes. Like, even if Josh Hayes did nothing more than just get a little more aggressive to the body, didn't even break the pass up, maybe Kittle can't get the second foot down or something. But he made it so easy, and he's right there. A terrible holding penalty. Excuse me. A terrible holding penalty that the Bucs had gotten off the field on third down. On Hayes, where he just immediately held right off the line of scrimmage. Kept the first touchdown drive alive for San Francisco. And again, this is one guy. I'm not just picking on one guy. Antoine Winfield Jr. needs to be better. He hasn't been very good. Lavonte David, I love him. And he's had some really good games. And he still makes individual plays where you go, damn, Lavonte David can still play at a high level. But down to down, like play to play, his legs are going. You can see it. He is constantly chasing, and he's not quite where he needs to be, and he's a little slow getting to where he needs to be. He needs to be, I mean, I'm not saying he needs to be better, like he owes us something, but if he's out there, he needs to be better. Still need more pass rush. Bucs aren't getting nearly enough of it. I know they're doing well in sack totals, but there's too many plays where whoever the opposing quarterback is just has too much time, and with this secondary, any time is death, let alone an excess of time. So there's lots of issues. It's not just one issue on defense. Schematically, I'm sure there are things they could do better. But my overall point here is this. Guys have to make plays, and guys have to win one-on-one battles against whoever they're covering or whoever they're pass rushing against or whoever they're across from in general. And they're not doing that at all on this defense. And I don't know how much of that. I know you, people say, oh, the defense is Todd Bowles' responsibility. So you have a defensive head coach. The defense is your weak unit. Yes, that's not totally inaccurate, but again, the injuries are... This team is more undermanned than we give them credit for. Hopefully that gets a little bit better after the bye as well. I mean, I know, you know, we can get Jamel Dean back and we can get a few other guys back and things like that, but man, there's no excuses in the NFL, not because the excuses aren't valid, just because they don't matter. 4-6 is 4-6. There's no committee. Like I said last week, this isn't college football. You can't say, hey, we've beaten the top teams. They have. Lions, Eagles, Commanders. And we went to overtime on the road with another one that's probably the best of all of them, the Chiefs, on Monday night. I mean, the Bucs roster, just think about this if you want to just rip Todd Bowles to shreds. And I'm not completely absolving Todd Bowles. The Bucs roster in its current state, like these past 2 weeks, not their roster at the beginning of the season, not the roster when they beat Detroit or beat the Commanders or beat the Eagles, their roster right now, okay? Their roster has no business being on the field with the rosters of the Chiefs or the roster of the 49ers or things like that. No business. And I know would've, should've, could've don't get you anything, but this roster not only stayed on the field with them, but should very well have beaten both of them, okay? So you can look at it both ways. You could say, oh, God, terrible coaching job. They've lost 5 of 6. So you can say, my God, how are they even keeping these games close? Good coaching job. There's different ways of looking at it. So I'm not trying to excuse every little thing, but I think the perspective, and you know, if the wheels completely come off, and they just can't even get anything done after they get Mike Evans back and Jamel Dean back and other people back, and they're playing the easiest schedule in the NFL. There's a graph. I retweeted it. If you follow me on Twitter and now also on Blue Sky, I'm on both. Same handle, at Bobby Game Day, BobbyGameDay. But there was a chart showing, excuse me, both schedule to this point, which the Bucs have by far, not even a little bit, by far the hardest schedule played so far. And then there was another one showing remaining schedule left where the Bucs have by far, not even a little bit, by far the easiest remaining left, that's going to make a difference. But I don't care if you're playing Plant High School seven times coming up, okay? It's hard to go 6-1. You're not always going to win. I mean, the Bucks will be favored in six of their final seven. The only team they have left with a winning record is the LA Chargers, whose defense has been really good. The offense hasn't done as much, but that Chargers team has a winning record, and that one's on the road in Los Angeles. Everybody else they play, Panthers twice, Saints once, Cowboys once, and they're without Dak Prescott, not even that that matters that much. The Giants, the Raiders, all these teams, if I told you there's one football game between the Bucks and that team, you'd feel pretty good about that one football game. But if I line up seven of them in a row and say you got to win six, even against teams you're better than, that's why if they could have won one of those Atlanta games, they'd be 5-5. Atlanta would be 5-5. They're basically three games behind Atlanta right now because they're two games back, plus they don't have a tiebreaker. And if they had just won one of those two Atlanta games, they would be zero games. They'd be tied with them. But you got to make up three games on a team, and I mean, even 5-2. I think the Bucks can absolutely go 5-2 in these final seven, and that would have been fine if they had gotten one more win already. But not having done that, man. I mean, like I said, there's no reason not to watch the games. The Bucks have a chance, and it's too early to start scoreboard watching and things like that. But if you are into that whole thing and want to start getting a head start on that. I'm recording this on Thursday, early afternoon. I guess you could start tonight, right? Isn't it time to start rooting against? I mean, here's where the playoff situation is. I'm an idiot for even doing this. I shouldn't even do this. Watch the Bucks go like 500 down the stretch and not even come close. But if you look at the NFC playoff situation, the wild card situation right now, the top three or four, the Bucks are way back, but you got the Vikings at 7-2. The Commanders at 7-3, Bucks have a tiebreaker over them at least. Root for the Eagles to beat the Commanders on Thursday Night Football if you're listening to this and that game hasn't happened already. And maybe the Eagles run away and hide with the division. The Commanders fall apart. I don't know. 49ers are now ahead of the Bucks and have a tiebreaker over the Bucks. They could still win the West, of course. The Packers are ahead of the Bucks. They don't play them. The Packers are only 2-3 in the NFC. Bucks are 4-3 in the NFC. Potential tiebreaker there. Bucks are going to have to win a lot of games just to make any of this matter. The Bears and Rams, I don't think they're very good. The Seahawks, I don't think they're very good. The Bucks have a chance at 10-7. But honestly, you know what? We shouldn't even be talking about this. Bucks have lost four in a row. Until we win a football game, we shouldn't be talking about anything else. This is basically the classic Jim Mora post-game rant. Like, playoffs, I'm just trying to win a game. Like, that's where the Bucks are right now. I feel like an idiot even doing the last 5 minutes of this show the way I did and talking about playoff scenarios when right now the Bucks can't win, period. So bye week comes at a good time. Hopefully they can get right from some injuries. Bucks are extremely fortunate that Tristan Wirfs is another one, got hurt during the game on Sunday, but at least his injury is supposedly week to week. It could have been really bad. He got kind of rolled over on, and turns out he should be okay at some point. So hopefully with an extra week now to get ready, come out gangbusters, got to go up to the Meadowlands and win. And from there, then we can start looking at things. It helps that the Falcons don't look great right now. And, week by week, maybe things will change. But man, I don't know. I have a really bad taste in my mouth. And I even tweeted, and you can throw all these tweets back in my face if you want to down the line. I hope it comes to that. I hope this is getting thrown back in my face. It'll mean the Bucks have done well. But I tweeted right after the game the other day. I'm reading my own tweet verbatim here. Quote, "I don't know if I can do it anymore, folks. Between the Gators and the Bucks and all the injuries and mistakes coming close and continuing to lose, I'm just over it. I don't care how easy the schedule is after the bye. This team doesn't have it. I'll keep doing the shows, though." So I'm not going to delete that tweet, but I am backing off of it a little bit because nothing feels worse than that immediate aftermath. That's why I do shows in the middle of the week, so there's more perspective. But even a few days later, forget about a few days. Even a few days later, I'm still mad about San Francisco. I'm still replaying the Atlanta game in my mind. The first Atlanta game on Thursday Night Football. I haven't even gotten over that one yet, let alone everything else that's happened since then. And, I mean, look at everything that happened in that football game. Look at everything that happened on that final drive. Even after San Francisco took a 20-17 lead, and the Bucs get the ball, And we're just hoping they can tie the game up and go to overtime, even though that's been no bargain for the Bucks in recent history. And then here's what happened. The Bucks start making that drive. Baker misses a throw on third down, or it may have been second or third down. That would have been huge, and he missed it. Then makes a miracle play on fourth down with Bosa hanging off of his arm to somehow keep the drive alive. Then, after not getting any calls at all, like it seems like ancient history, the last time the Bucks got a big call, I feel like there's always these bailout calls on third down stops or, you know, some ticky-tack thing on roughing the passer or something that goes against the Bucks. Then finally, they get three calls in a row, like big calls against San Francisco to go from midfield to inside the red zone in the blink of an eye. And they were correct calls, by the way. It wasn't like they got any favors done for them, if you go back and watch the replay. But I think what happened, my good friend Danny Fischetti brought this up, and he had a good point. We were talking about the game. I think the Bucks were totally off guard. Like, I think that whole drive, they had just made the fourth down conversion. They were just basically fighting for their lives, trying to get a field goal. Then the 49ers make three penalties in quick succession, and you know, including a big one, a 15-yarder. I don't think the Bucks were like, they weren't ready. They were like, whoa, whoa, we're going for a touchdown here. Like, and that's why I think the play calling was kind of hasty. Although it's not even that they called a running play, but Barton, and the Bucks offensive line's been awesome, but Barton got completely blown up, and they get behind the sticks right out of the gate when they tried to hand it off to Rashad White, and he's met several yards in the backfield literally as he's getting the ball. And then the whole drive sputtered from there, and they set up and they kick a field goal. You cannot kick a field goal. You just got first and goal at the 7 with the game on the line, and you know how bad, forget about the possibility of losing in regulation, which is what happened. But then, you know, we know what's been going on in overtime with this team and this defense. You've got to get a touchdown there. Like, your whole thing should have been, we're scoring a touchdown right here and ending this right now. And so it was really disappointing to see them never even have a chance after a really bad negative play right off the bat. But I think what my friend Danny said was right. I think things were moving so fast. And those penalties, I mean, their mind didn't shift quickly enough into, oh my God, we have a real chance to score a touchdown here from where they had started out, which was, we're just hoping to get a field goal. And you knew Moody was making his kick. There's no way. I mean, I would have bet $1 million before the kick. He missed three already today. You think he's going to miss the game winner now? He was nailing that. I mean, you didn't have to even do it. They could have just said, once they got into field goal range, game's over. I knew Moody was making that kick after missing three. But yeah, I just, you know, if you really want to have your mind blown, here's the stat to end all stats. Greg Allman on his Twitter feed posted this earlier in the week. The Buccaneers, the last six games, have scored 182 points, okay? So that's 30 points a game in a six-game stretch. There have been 1,353 times ever in the history of the National Football League, 1,353 times where a team has averaged 30 points per game in a six-game stretch and still only won one time, a 1-5 record or worse. It's only happened twice, okay? In 1,353 instances, two times has a team averaged 30 points per game and still gone 1-5 or worse. And both of them are the Bucks. Not the 2024 Bucks is one, the 2019 Bucks is the other. And they were dealing, even though they were scoring 1,000,000 points, they were dealing with a constant barrage of turnovers from Jameis Winston at that point. But literally over 1,300 times in league history has a team scored as many points as the Bucks have in a six-game stretch and still only won one game. And it's this year's Bucks and the 2019 Bucks. I mean, that's mind-blowing. Not only that, forget about the part that they're both the Bucks, just the fact that it's only happened two times in general. And all the Bucks had to go in this stretch was 2-4 for their season to have some real juice to it at 5-5, and they couldn't even do that. So I know about the injuries. I know about all the things we've talked about. It doesn't. Maybe by next week's kick, you know, I'm the type of person, I want to get excited for things. I don't like quitting on things. So maybe by kickoff in the Meadowlands next Sunday, not this Sunday, you know, I'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed again. I don't know. But I know this. the Bucks are wasting what's been an incredible offensive performance by this team, and especially by this offensive line. I mean, if I had told you before the year, the offensive line was going to be just completely outstanding. Graham Barton's going to shine as a rookie. Cody Mauch's going to take a step forward. Bredesen, this guy nobody's ever heard of, who's a journeyman, is going to come in at guard and be just fine. Gedeky, obviously Tristan Wirfs. Tristan Wirfs, folks, okay, he's allowed six total pressures, not sacks, six pressures all season long, no sacks. And since week three, he's only allowed two pressures. It's week 11. He allowed four pressures in the first two games and only two since then in the next seven games. Or excuse me, eight games. I mean, he has just been unbelievable. I mean, not to jinx anything, I mean, he's young. You have to have longevity on top of it. But he is absolutely having a Hall of Fame career right before our eyes right now, okay? Like I said, Graham Barton's been really good. In fact, the whole line, here's another stat, and this is another one I tweeted or retweeted on my account at Bobby Game Day. Baker Mayfield has the most throws from a clean pocket in all of the NFL of any quarterback. He's had a clean pocket the highest rate. Bucks offensive line, phenomenal job. And run and pass blocking. Now, Baker's EPA per play on those is just middle of the pack. So, like, he's having a phenomenal year, but he actually almost should be a little bit better. He's just been average when he has a clean pocket, but he's just got a clean pocket all the time, so his numbers are still crazy. It all begins up front, and this offensive line has been dominant. And if I had told you that at the beginning of the season, and nothing else, just said, hey, this line's going to be dominant, you'd be like, whoa, man, this is going to be awesome, dude. We're gonna mow down the league. And offensively, they really are mowing down the league. Defensively, obviously, not so much. Injuries have a lot to do with that, and strength of schedule. The Bucks have faced not just the best teams, but the best passing offenses. Like, of the top six or seven, they've faced like three or four of them. Again, have to mention that to their credit. That's something that doesn't mean they perform well, but at least, and they're going to start facing a lot of the bottom feeders now. So I'm hoping week by week, and we got to look at this week by week now. I know I'm guilty of it more than anybody. Let's stop talking about 6-1 down the stretch, 5-2 down the stretch. Win every week. So you got a game against the New York Giants, and knowing also the Bucks have kind of a little bit of a history of playing down to their competition in recent years. I mean, how do you think Daniel Jones got the nickname Danny Dimes, right? Where did that all start? Raymond James Stadium, that's where I'll tell you. But he has not been very good. The Giants have been a complete mess. And, I mean, this Bucks defense, if there's ever a cure for what ails them, it's what they've got coming up. They just need to step up and do something with it. One more some set of numbers I'll throw at you here. Let's get all the negative crap out today. Last 6 weeks, Bucks defense, 31.3 points per game allowed. That's 32nd of 32 teams. 425.3 yards per game allowed. That's 32nd among 32 teams. They're 31st in passing yards per game allowed and 31st of 32 teams in opposing passer rating allowed. And that's where we're at right now. So I'm using this show today just to get the negative stuff out. I'll be more positive. I know you guys, a lot of you say you come to me for positivity, all right? I didn't have much of it today. I'm hurt, man. The Bucks hurt me these past few weeks. I just wanted one win, and they couldn't get it. And so now they're behind the eight ball. But take the weekend. Enjoy. This is a good weekend of games. The Bucks don't play. There's some really good games. It starts Thursday night football. Commanders-Eagles. You got Bills-Chiefs at 4 o'clock. The late game on Sunday. Appointment viewing. And even in the 1 o'clock slot, there's usually not a great game. But we got Ravens-Steelers, which should be fun. So there's some good games out there. Enjoy it. Everybody, I think the fans need a bye just as much as the team does. The team might be physically in need of a bye. The fan base is mentally in need of a bye. So let's all just do what we have to do. This show today was a clear out session. We'll get things right going forward and get ready for Bucks Giants next Sunday. In the meantime, just root against everybody who's anywhere near the NFC playoff race. They can't all lose, but you know, a lot of them maybe can, and any little bit helps, and it just gives you something to focus on. With that said, email me if you want to. Email address, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, BOBBYGAMEDAY, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Same thing on Twitter and Blue Sky. I'm on both, @BobbyGameDay. I want to thank the Joes at joebucksfan.com for giving me this platform, the single best place anywhere. And that's TV, radio, internet, anywhere for Bucks coverage. joebucksfan.com. Check it out. You'll never be more up to date and caught up with what's going on with the team than if you start and end there. Thanks to you guys for listening. Have a great weekend. Go out and enjoy. It's going to be beautiful weather. It's cooling off a little bit. We got some cold fronts on the way. That storm out there looks like it may not be as bad as they were originally saying. Take advantage of all of it and have fun. And I'll be back next week, and we'll get ready to reset and get going for the second half of the season. In the meantime, I'm Bobby Fenton. That's the bi-week edition of the Free Stretch. Thanks for listening, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.